Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Atlanta Legal Experts. I am your host, Emily Rowell with AttorneyOfficeSpace.com. And we have Rich Casanova in the studio as my co-host today. Good morning.
Here? Oh, I felt like I was in class all of a sudden. Here, yeah. Well, just for the listeners, I'm not a legal
expert.
Well, I'm an expert, but I'm not in legal terms, whatever. Yeah, no lawyer. But I'm not even playing one on the radio this morning. Normally I do, but yeah.
I am.
So how are, yeah, exactly. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
about you?
Unbelievable.
Good, good. And today we actually have some representatives of the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. Welcome. We have Jennifer Jacob Barnes with the Jacob Barnes Law Firm. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have a returning guest, yeah. Valentia Alleen with the Alleen Law Firm. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think Valentia was on your inaugural or the premiere show or one of the first episodes, I believe, yeah.
That's correct.
Yes.
May 6th.
Premiere show, yes. And she's probably used that podcast for many things.
Yeah, it's been very, very successful.
Wonderful.
So. She's
wonderful.
Back.
So glad to be back.
She must like Atlanta Legal Experts, AL Radio. All right, here we go.
So we're going to discuss a little bit about the association, Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, and I think you two will do a great job representing. Jennifer, tell me, why did you first get involved with GAL?
I first got involved with GAL about 4.5 years ago when I started my own law firm. And I first started getting involved with GAL for networking purposes. I was trying to grow my business. I wanted to meet more attorneys. And it grew from there. It became networking to friendships, to ways of learning how other people do business. They're just, GAL is so diverse that I feel like it can meet any need that a woman attorney may have.
So right away you found a lot of good results from it.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Fantastic. And how has GAL given you, and I should say the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, I like to say GAL.
Yeah, because I thought it was golf or whatever, yeah.
How has it given you an opportunity in leadership?
So GAL has given me a couple different opportunities in leadership. When I first joined GAL, I started going to what they call their neighborhood networking breakfasts, which is just a monthly breakfast. They have them all over Atlanta, and I was attending the one in Perimeter that was close to my office. After attending that for, I don't know, probably 2 years, the person running the breakfast was ready to change out, so she asked me to step in and run the breakfast for her. So that was my first step in GAL leadership. And then from there, I just joined different committees. I've been very active on the membership committee, and I have now, I'm the chair of the membership committee for the second time.
Fantastic. Tell me a little bit more, if you don't mind, about your role in the membership.
Yeah. So I am the chair of the membership committee, which you have the VP, which is the person who is, I guess, in charge of the membership committee, and the chair is the person who supports the VP. We have recently met to discuss our plans going forward. So the VP and I work together to discuss how we are going to grow our membership. Mm-hmm. And we come up with ideas. We present them to the board. Most of the time the board is on board with whatever we present to them.
Sure.
And then we are in charge of implementing the ideas with the help from our committee members. But we run our monthly meetings and just grow our membership.
Would you mind telling me a couple of the things that you do to grow your membership?
Yeah. So the next event that the membership committee is planning is it's a GAL fall kickoff is what we called it last year. We haven't named it yet this year, but it is where all members, non-members, potential members are invited. That is a way to get to know who is in GAL, to meet new people, see what GAL does, the different committees and what you can do for the committee. So it's really a good way to get a taste of GAL. Mm-hmm. So that is our big event that will be coming up this fall that we are planning for right now.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And last year, obviously, it was a success.
Yes, it's one of the most attended events by current GAL members and potential members.
Now, have you, what other personal benefits have you received from GAL?
So one of the biggest benefits I am receiving right now is I'm expecting in December.
Yay,
so
congratulations.
Oh, nice. Congratulations. Yeah.
So it is a great way to talk to other attorneys and see how they have dealt with maternity leave and their practices. So I feel mm-hmm. like after talking to many different women who have gone through this, it makes me feel confident in being able to take, you know, 4 weeks off or however long off that I end up deciding to take and be able to come back and just pick up my practice where it is, and getting support also from other members while I'm out. I will need some help, and there are members that can help, you know, for court hearings, you know, client meetings, while I'm not available.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So, Valenti, I'm going to pull you in the conversation. You listening? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm attentive.
She's wide awake.
Yeah, she's very looking pleasantly over there. Tell me about a little bit about your membership role in the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers.
Yeah, I, like Jennifer, I joined GAL 2 years ago. And specifically for me, being a newer attorney and then new to Georgia, is really important for me to develop professional and personal relationships with strong women. And so Jennifer, actually, we met pretty relatively early on. I attended, I think the very first event was our annual dinner. And I literally ran into who used to be our VP last year of membership, who, as Jennifer alluded to earlier, we met at a neighborhood networking breakfast in Cobb and Cumberland, which is closer to where my home is before I get into the office. Mm-hmm. And like Jennifer's NNB host, mine was leaving as well. And this was 2 months after I joined. And she says, I think you can take over. And I said, I don't know anyone. She says, you can do it. So that was my indoctrination. And I share that to simply say that GALS offers an array of opportunities if you want to get involved. So I've been the NMB host for Cobb Cumberland for a year and a half. And then Jennifer and I met for a twofold because we share same practice area in bankruptcy. And then I sat on Jennifer's membership committee last year. And upon that, I was asked to take a leadership role this year. And so I'm
fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm a co-chair with the Strategic Partnership Committee. So okay. I think it's a wonderful opportunity if you want to get more involved, if you want to meet great dynamic women, build your professional and your personal relationship. I think GAL has a multitude of things to offer to women attorneys here in Georgia.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the Strategic Partnership Committee?
Yes, that's a very, you know, dutiful task, but our mission, we just revamped it actually this year, which was to continue to convey our value both to our sponsors and our members. And so just like with Jennifer's committee, we're actively off the ground working, whether it's renewing sponsors or looking at synergies between potential partners, because we look at them as partners. We mm-hmm. want to have long-term relationships for both the association and the sponsor, and to make sure our members are getting value from mm-hmm. who we are strategically partnering with. So people who you know, support the goals of women attorneys. And so our job is obviously to generate dollars, but it's also to foster strong relationships for both the partner, our members, and the association overall.
Fantastic. And so you would say a new attorney to Georgia and a new attorney just with a new practice is finds it very easy to get involved with the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers.
I would. For me, once I kind of got my ground pretty steady in my practice, because like Jennifer, I also have my own law firm as well, you can't stay inside. You have to find someone to associate with in order to not only grow your practice, but, you know, grow your knowledge base, grow your exposure into the legal community here. And so what made me join GAL, before I knew who was involved, I just kept running into women who were kind enough to help me and help me navigate my practice, navigate courtroom, et cetera. And somehow just stumbled across maybe over a half a dozen of them were all GAL women. And mm-hmm. what really impressed me, never once did they mention you should join GAL. It's their, what they did showed of what I think is important is we all need mentors at some point. And so mm-hmm. them looking at me as an individual and supporting me and then saying, well, we are part of this great organization called GAL. It was a no-brainer for me to become more involved. So
fantastic. And if either of you would volunteer to tell me a little bit about membership, how many members do you have? How long has GAL been in practice, or not in practice, sorry, been an association? If you guys have any history on GAL, that'd be great.
Yeah, we have. Was well, last time
I should say ladies.
Yeah, right.
Either of you guys, I bet ladies.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at the website. It says it was founded in 1928. they celebrated, you know, wow. First I was looking at it, I thought it was like 8 years, but that was in 2008. Was her 80th anniversary? Yeah.
Yep. Wow. We've been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
Last year was 85.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we have about 725 members. That changes every day. And we did grow quite a bit last year. And we continue to grow. I mean, every day there's new attorneys either entering Georgia, or graduating from law school, passing the bar.
Sure.
So we do want to get them involved and get them to join GAL, because I really do think it can help. Whether they're going out on their own or whether they're joining a law firm, mm-hmm. it's the unexpected. You have no clue what you're getting into when you right. graduate from law school. So we like to show them and really do help them out.
So did you want to?
No, I was going to say, in addition to that, not only the history, but as Jennifer alluded to, there's something for everyone. And so we have what we call affinity groups, and it can be for mothers, they have a mother's affinity group. They have for solo, small firm affinity groups, to big firm, government, large law firm. And so various bar associations have sections, but I think GAL does a really good job at looking at things that are specific to women's needs as well. And so not only do you just have the overall, you know, bar association, but you have our affinity groups. We have our neighborhood networking breakfast and what we call neighborhood networking happy hours. In addition to, we have chapters mm-hmm. throughout the state of Georgia. So it's not okay. just an Atlanta-based bar association, but it's a statewide bar association for women, and it's the largest women bar association here in Georgia.
Wow.
That's yeah, it shows Savannah. They have chapters in Savannah and Columbus. And but also, there's a chapter at the Atlanta John Marshall Law School.
Yes.
It says, yeah, we've had them on the air a couple of times, whatever. Yeah, so I didn't know that.
I was going to ask, too, the majority of your members, are they solo, small practice firms, or is it just varied because of the vast?
It's very varied. I would say the majority is a solo, small firm setting. I think it's harder for the real large firms, for the attorneys to get out,
sure,
lunch and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, most of them are the smaller firms, but we are trying to reach out to the larger firms and mm-hmm. bring them benefit, you know, maybe go to their offices, because it may be harder for them to leave, go to their office and do some programming there.
And that's actually one of our focus areas for strategic partnerships as well, is engaging the, you know, bigger, large firm, and what value can we bring to their female associates by participating with GAL. So that's actually one of our focus areas this year for our committee.
Fantastic. I was going to ask another question. Rich, did you have
I'm just looking at the website with the events. There's a morning breakfast in Buckhead, and I don't know if I could sneak in. I feel like I'm a little outnumbered here, whatever. Yeah, I'm probably not. Well, one, I'm not a lawyer, and two, yeah, I wouldn't qualify on both ends. Yeah,
males are invited to our organization.
Oh, really?
And we do have some male members.
Oh, wow.
Well, going back to the history, again, a little bit outnumbered here, but so 1928, it's hard to even potentially fathom how many women attorneys were.
That's a good
point.
That
was a... Yeah. A rarity,
yes, our organization was very small at the time.
Yeah,
like you said, there were not that many women attorneys.
Yeah, 1928. Wow.
How many new lawyers do you see joining every year? Do you know about?
I wouldn't know the number on new attorneys joining. There is a very large. There's a large number of new attorneys graduating from law school. Mm-hmm. So many of the women do make it to our events. I see them a lot at the neighborhood networking breakfast, mm-hmm. where they want to kind of see what GAL's about. So we see a lot of them. I have no clue what that number would
be. Yeah, I wouldn't have a number. I know, for example, at my particular neighborhood networking breakfast, we usually have every month at least 2 to 3 students from the various local law schools here. So there's a fair amount of indoctrination. There's also obviously a good representation, because we have a chapter specifically at John Marshall. But one of the things that, you know, any attorney gets exposed to when they are sworn in here at the bar swearing in ceremony, they have an opportunity to hear from the various bar associations. So pretty early on, right when they say, "I do, I swear,"
right.
You know, they have their exposure not only to GAL, but from the other various bar associations. So there's always an influx year round.
Sure.
We have year round renewal of membership, so they can become members at any time, which is why it's probably a little bit challenging for us to put a number of
right.
the number of new female attorneys who join GAL.
So, okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about the association? Because we were going to go ahead and start focusing in on each of your individual practices.
I have no further comment for the, like I'm in court, whatever. Yeah.
You are so funny. Well, I think you guys did a definitely, or you ladies, I keep saying that, did a wonderful job representing the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. Tell me how they can get involved and what's the website and how they can.
Yes, our website is gawl.org. That's GAWL.org. On the website, it has many, many different events as you looked up.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. I mean, amazing event calendar, yeah. And photo gallery, but yeah, y'all go ahead. I'm just looking, yeah.
So there's always something going on. Depends on how active you want to be. I mean, if you really want to be active, you could go to something every day. I personally think that's too much. Yeah. So I pick and choose my events, but there's always something going on that can fit your schedule, morning, noon, or night. And you can sign up online, too, at there's gall.org. We have our application on there.
Okay.
And once you join, you should create a profile, which is searchable. We have the only
fantastic
bar association that has a searchable online directory. So, again, as we're talking about networking and finding out who else is in your practice area, you can go right online and see who our members are.
And maybe when she's taking her maternity leave, since you practice the same thing, you could help.
I'm here for Jennifer always. She knows that.
I was going to come. That is a kind of a cool feature. You mentioned that early on, but yeah, if you have a need for somebody to kind of step in and you're not available, I mean, that's the beauty of the community group like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
and Jennifer personally has been my savior a few times, so I thank her on the air.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, and we're going to go ahead. For those of you just tuning in, we have Jennifer Jacob Barnes here with the Jacob Barnes Law Firm. Thank you for being here again. And good morning.
Thank you.
I'm going to read the bio real quick, and you can read more on our website at atlantalegalexperts.com. Jennifer Jacob Barnes received her law degree from Oklahoma City University. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Honors Criminology and Criminal Justice from the University of Texas at Arlington, graduating magna cum laude. She is admitted to practice law in the state of Georgia and admitted in the Northern District of Georgia Federal Courts. She's very involved in the community, including the legal community and social community. She is a member of the Metro Atlanta Consumer Bankruptcy Attorney Group, Atlanta Bar Association, Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, and the Sandy Springs Bar Association. She has worked at large volume bankruptcy filers in the Metro Atlanta area. Jennifer has more than just bankruptcy experience. She worked at a general civil litigation firm. She opened her firm to give the clients the personal care they need and deserve during the bankruptcy process or any other legal process. Jennifer Jacob Barnes Law Firm files both Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcies for consumers. And Jennifer Jacob Barnes, an experienced bankruptcy attorney, will advise you of your legal rights and help you determine the correct path to take, whether it be bankruptcy or another avenue. Can you tell me, when did you open your practice?
I opened it the beginning of 2010, so it's been 4.5 years ago.
Fantastic. And where did you get your experience?
So I worked at two of the large, high-volume bankruptcy firms here. We call them bankruptcy mills because they file hundreds of cases a month.
Wow.
They probably file more cases a month than I do a year.
Wow.
So I got a lot of experience there. I met many different clients. I learned the bankruptcy process. I learned the bankruptcy rules. I learned the code. And that's really where my training came from.
Okay.
I started my business because there you see a client for 10 minutes and then you never see them again. So you help them solve whatever issue they have at that single moment, whether it's coming in for the first time, deciding whether they're a 7 or 13, or they're in the middle of a case and something comes up and you have to, you know, fix whatever problem it is. Mm-hmm. Now with my own firm, I get to take my clients from the very beginning, helping them decide what type of bankruptcy, if bankruptcy is even the best option, and help them throughout the whole process, stay with them. So I know the whole time what's going on in their case. It's never a surprise to me when they come into my office. You know, I've knew what happened in the beginning. They tell me what happens along the way. We keep our communication very open. I get to take more time with them and really get to know them. They become my friends.
So it's more of a personalized experience for sure.
Yes.
And you're probably not having to like read a bunch of information on their
notes.
Case before.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you probably miss something or So it's definitely more professional.
Yes.
As well.
I have to say, I don't remember everything, but usually when I start reading my own notes, it quickly triggers my memory. Oh, yes, this is what was going on in this case, rather than starting from not knowing anything.
So why do you like helping people file for bankruptcy?
So some many people think that my job is very depressing, and I see the opposite. Yes, when my clients come into my office, they're in some sort of financial struggle, but the bankruptcy or whatever we decide, debt settlement, whatever it is that we do with them, changes their financial situation to usually to help them. I mean, that's the whole point, mm-hmm. is to help them get out of a financial situation. So by the time they're done being my clients, they're happy.
Sure.
Where I see this that's is very fantastic. Different than other practice areas like a divorce. You come in, you need a divorce, you get a divorce, you're not happy.
Right.
Yes, you're divorced, but you're still not happy.
Right. And how does bankruptcy really help somebody?
So many different ways. If I have many people who come in for medical bills, sometimes credit cards. Usually when they come in for credit cards, it's because they've used it on medical bills, truthfully. But if they come in, their issue is just medical bills, we can make those medical bills go away. And so many people are so upset. They always say, I've always wanted to pay my bills. Well, I try to explain to them, especially when it's medical bills, you had no control over it.
Right.
You didn't, you know, most people don't cause their illness or
sure.
whatever is causing them to incur these medical bills. So I try and, you know, just reassure them, let them know, you know, this is going to make a huge financial difference. You're going to be able to put the food on your table you should be putting on there mm-hmm. rather than, you know, just trying to get by on peanut butter sandwiches.
What a relief.
Yeah.
I mean, and like you said, they're trapped because they didn't mean to get sick or whatever happened. And so they've got the pressure of the bills. And so it's a relief.
Oh, that stress. And the stress, if they already have a medical issue, the stress of the bills make it so much worse. I have so many clients that come in and say, I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. And after we meet, they're like, oh, I can finally sleep again. So it really makes a huge difference in all aspects of their life.
That should be your tagline. I help people sleep again. So when you first started at law school and you know, saw all the different areas of law, what made you choose bankruptcy?
So I think I was like many people who graduate from law school, and bankruptcy chose me.
Okay.
You go to law school, you get a general degree. We have a law degree. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's some certificates you get, but for most people, they don't have a certificate. They just come out. And you think you want to do whatever it is. Well, depends on what jobs are out there. When
right.
I graduated, bankruptcy, that job was open. So I gave it a chance. And I, once again, really liked the being able to help people. Mm-hmm. And I realized that that was a good fit for me. Like, I think you guys said earlier, I did civil litigation for a year. I enjoyed it, but I didn't feel like I was helping people as much as I am in bankruptcy. So that's why I went back to the bankruptcy field and have stayed in it ever since and plan on staying it for the foreseeable future.
Awesome. So when you were setting up your practice, tell me a little bit of advice. Like, what are some of the challenges you had? Go ahead.
Yep. So I think the largest challenge, and this would be probably to anyone who's starting a new business in the legal field, is you get your training on legal knowledge from your previous jobs or, you know, wherever you get your training on that. But no one teaches you about the business of having a business. So
right.
learning to budget is a huge thing, especially when you have no clients in the beginning. You're starting from nothing, but you have to rent a space, other things like that. Mm-hmm. Learning to market. I think that's a never-ending learning curve. If I had the magic to marketing, I would be very happy.
Yeah.
But I haven't found the one marketing that works all around. You have to do a little bit of everything, which I have learned.
Sure. You have to wear many hats.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. As the owner of a business, you are the janitor, you are the president, and everything in between. Learning, you know, how much time each of those roles are going to take and not letting, you know, one role overtake the rest of them. Everything has to get done.
Right, right. Now, would you say for those just starting out in choosing your place, would it be easy for them to, you know, start maybe with a smaller option of like a virtual office or...
Yes, and I think that also depends on your practice area. There's
sure.
some practice areas where people can start in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Bankruptcy is a very client contact practice area, mm-hmm. so I think they do definitely need an office space, but starting,
sure.
like you said, with a virtual office space where they just get certain times a month or
sure.
Something to keep the cost low
yes.
and to be around other people is a great way to start out.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for... being on the show, and it sounds like you really do care for your clients. And just go ahead and tell our listeners exactly how they can get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with me by phone at 404-255-3837, and my website is sandyspringsbankruptcy.com.
Great. Thank you again. And for those of you tuning in again, we have Miss Valentia Aline, and I should say back again. Welcome.
Thank you.
She devotes her time to bankruptcy, consumer law, and collections defense and estate planning. Miss Aline has focused her practice on helping people change their lives for the better. Her role as an attorney allows her to ensure her clients receive a fair and just outcome to their case. Miss Aline works closely with her clients to guide them through the legal process, keeping them fully informed at all times and working with them to establish an enduring financial responsibility and personal independence. Prior to practicing law and founding the Aline Law Firm, Miss Aline worked as a marketing and business development executive in the corporate sector for 15 years. Miss Aline received her BA from the University of Virginia, her MBA from the University of Phoenix, her JD from the Loyola University Chicago School of Law, where she received special honors for her public interest work, and her LLM in taxation from Northwestern University School of Law. Miss Aline is a member of the Atlanta Bar Association, the Georgia Association of Black Women Attorneys, Georgia Association of Women Lawyers, Metro Atlanta Association of Consumer Bankruptcy Attorneys, and the National Association of Consumer Bankruptcy Attorneys. As we said earlier, she is also co-chair of the Strategic Partnerships Committee at the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. Wow.
You said it all.
Yeah.
Does she have any time to practice law or whatever? All these associations. Wow.
Yeah, you say it a lot of times and it starts to...
Right.
tell me, how long have you been in your practice?
I've been practicing for a little over 3 years. So I finished school and my JD portion of my law degree in 2010. Stayed an extra year for my LLM in taxation because that's where I wanted to focus most of my effort, and did my LLM in tax, and then ended up starting practicing in 2011. So I'm into 3 years.
Fantastic. And you are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about estate planning.
Yeah, so some people look at estate planning as something that's morbid because most people don't want to think about death, but it's inevitable for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so my mantra is be prepared. And there's estate planning is twofold. It's before death as well, and of course it's taking care of your affairs after death. And so just like Jennifer said that she cares and wants to help her clients, I feel the same way about estate planning, because the worst thing that happens is when you don't plan, because mm-hmm. then the infighting occurs. And you should be focusing on your loved one that's either sick or, you know, has just transitioned versus, well, who's going to get what? So I encourage people, it's a natural process. Let's just plan, just like we plan for anything else, budgeting, marketing, et cetera. Our handling our final affairs should not be any less important. So estate planning consists of both what we call planning during life, which is power of attorney, because if you become incapacitated or incompetent, for example, who do you want to handle your financial affairs while mm-hmm. you're living, whether it's a spouse, a sibling, a child, etc. And so that's what we often call during lifetime, or inter vivos if you want to be legalese. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of the general is what we call the healthcare directive. Again, because the durable power of attorney lets you handle someone's financial affairs. The healthcare directive handles who's going to make their medical decisions if they can't do it for themselves.
Okay.
The second part of estate planning, of course, is your more traditional planning. Once a person has transitioned, how do we probate their will? Or if they have established a trust, how do we continue that trust now that they've moved on? So that's what encompasses basic estate planning.
And tell me, how do you get your clients for estate planning? You know, how do you reach out?
That's a good question. Estate planning, it's unlike, I would say, for example, bankruptcy, you know, you may go online. Mm-hmm. I think it's more consumer friendly. So mm-hmm. it's more, you could think of someone might open up a although we don't use phone books, but an online phone book mm-hmm. or ask a friend. Estate planning is definitely, I would say, a lot of word of mouth. It's like a doctor's office. Who do you go to? Who has taken very good care of you? Mm-hmm. And estate planning, because it is such a sensitive area, you want someone who is knowledgeable and who actually will take the time and care. So a lot of my clients have come from, whether it's colleagues who don't handle estate planning, but they have a loved one, or mm-hmm. one of their clients that just came up in conversation, to family members and friends. So, or to every, I believe there's always time to market. So I don't know where, I don't care where I am, but someone knows I do bankruptcy and estate planning every day. So sometimes you're your best billboard, whether it's talking to someone on the elevator. So they can come from all sources, but specific for estate planning, because it is a sensitive area, I would say the majority of my clients come from referrals from others, whether it's, you know, friends, family, or colleagues.
So I wouldn't know, the life insurance industry in the past, I wouldn't know that somebody would, I used an attorney as a partner who we would refer clients back and forth, and I wouldn't know that it was required for somebody to use an attorney for estate planning. Can you tell me more why it's really helpful for people to have?
It's really important. That's actually a very good point, too, because financial planners, CPAs are great referral sources. Mm-hmm. Ironically enough, divorce attorneys are as well. And it's very important because people, and I tell estate planning, it's living and breathing. Just because you do a will 2 years ago doesn't mean it's going to be your permanent one, because things like having a child or unfortunately getting a divorce happen. And so what you don't want to have is you've divorced and now your ex-wife or ex-husband has everything because you never went back to update your estate plan. Mm-hmm. So you need someone who knows how to navigate the court, because if you end up having a will, it has to be probated. And so just understanding how to navigate the court building can be a job in and of its own. Mm-hmm. And then the law is ever changing. So, and if you are a high net worth client, tax law changes mm-hmm. and it can make huge tax implications if you do not plan your estate mm-hmm. correctly. So the reason why I recommend having an attorney, whether you are a high net worth client or someone who's just, you know, leaving a few things or their home to their children, it's having someone who can help you navigate the probate process and help you understand the ever-changing laws, both Georgia, tax laws, et cetera, so that your plan is executed properly mm-hmm. And in the least costly manner, because that's the other big thing people don't appreciate is if you don't plan correctly, it can be a very costly process if you didn't do proper planning on the front end. So it's not that you can't, I mean, because here in Georgia, you can write your will on a napkin. It's legal. As long as some two witnesses, it's legal. But it doesn't mean that it's proper.
Sure.
So it's just like I always tell people, you know, your tooth is loose or your tooth hurts. So do you know you have a cavity, or do you go to the dentist to just confirm, do you need just a filling or a root canal? Estate planning is the same thing, to be honest with you.
Right. And a lot of the people think that maybe just getting a life insurance, you know, or a long-term care insurance package, or that would take care of it. But I think what you're saying is you really need a team for your finances. And I'm sure a lot of your bankruptcy clients, because you do practice bankruptcy as well, probably go into your estate planning as well.
Yeah. Once they've gotten their fresh start, I always say this is a great time to visit your estate plan, because you actually make a very good point. Life insurance, for example, is not probated. It just goes directly to the beneficiary. Mm-hmm. So, but a lot of people don't understand when we say, what is your net worth? They think about cash in the bank, the house that they own, stocks that they have. And so if you have a very large life insurance policy, mm-hmm. even though it's not probated, it could still come back and bite you in the end. And the reason being is when the tax code was revised back in, or when Congress in 2011 said, okay, we're going to finally put a permanent cap with inflation on estate tax. They set it at $5 million and to adjust every year thereafter for inflation. If you have a $5 million policy, guess what? Now you're exposed to the estate tax. Mm-hmm. We haven't even gotten into the rest of your assets. So a lot of people, I always tell people, which is when we have them complete their questionnaire, it says, how much stock do you have? What's your life insurance, et cetera? Because even that is still considered part of your estate. And I've seen it happen where they didn't realize that $10 million life insurance policy is now before their beneficiaries, or their beneficiaries are going to get the money, but the estate's going to get hit with a 55% tax rate because they didn't put, we have a very specific trust, type of trust instrument. There's about 10 or so different various trusts that a person can use. It just determines on the circumstance. But in this one, it's called an ILIT, which is an irrevocable life insurance trust. And specifically, if you put your life insurance policy in there, it protects it from, it removes it from your estate. And therefore, when you're doing your final estate plan, and it's, as long as it's been there in the ILIT for at least 3 years, it's not taxable to your estate.
Right.
So again, the layperson just wouldn't know these things, which is why, you know, you go to an attorney to at least give you some sound advice so that you can make the best choice for you and your family.
Now, how would they find you?
They can find me. I'm online at Allene Law, which is AlleneLaw.com, or you can call the office at 800-611-2985.
And I do want to, and I didn't mean to close it out. I'm not going to close it out because I do want to ask you about your practice. And when you were starting your practice, like just like Jennifer, as a new attorney and finding the services that you need, you know, for your practice, can you give advice to a new, especially women lawyer?
I guess what were
practice?
The challenges? What would you coach or advise, you know, do's and don't do's or whatever, you know, or order of things, a priority, I guess, or...
I think Jennifer hit the nail on the head. It's the number one thing. We can all learn the practice of law, but business, handling business is a whole nother can of worms. So I always say that before you open or hang your shingle, do some pre-planning. And what I mean by that is the budget, because your phone is not going to ring the very first day. And so you find people, they get these pot, they go into these long-term leases, and then they're stuck because they personally guaranteed them. And now they're calling Jennifer and myself to file bankruptcy because the clients didn't come in. So no, you know, have some savings if at all possible. Sometimes you have to get a part-time job just so some type of income is coming in. If you're single, you don't have a spouse. And start small. I started first few months in my basement. Then I've moved, as I grew, that's when I grew into my space. So I then moved to virtual, where I had set number of hours per month so I could have a place to meet clients. And then when things were voluminous on a consistent basis, I moved into a permanent office space. But that took a year to get there. If I had started, I probably wouldn't be sitting with you today, because any money I had would have been in the tubes from trying to keep up with leasing space that I couldn't afford to begin with.
That's good advice. Kind of grow your business as your practice grows. I think probably you're probably so excited coming out of law school. You got that diploma and you're going to hang it on the wall. And I'm like just waiting for business or whatever. Yeah. But then seating up all of your cash flow.
Turn on, you know, the open sign.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was thinking too, what you're saying and what's a great advice from any bankruptcy attorney is, you know, use the money that you have, not the money that you don't have.
That's right.
To start. So a little bit at a time. So
yeah, I'd ask Jennifer too, like, or for both of you as well, but what about like other services, you know, social media, website design, IT, you know, marketing. I mean, like you said earlier, you're wearing a lot of hats and you're trying to, from janitor, but besides, after you've done cleaning your space or whatever, right? What's on your short list for like new up and coming attorneys as they graduate? You know, besides the office space, what else would it be on the list?
I would say marketing is very high. You have to market to get new clients. If you don't market, you're just going to be sitting in an office staring
at
the wall.
Okay, that's a great point. So for both of you, what marketing has worked and not worked? I mean, what's, you know,
I have done all different types of marketing. I've done a lot of online marketing that some has worked, some hasn't worked.
Some pay-per-click and SEO kind of stuff?
Yeah. And I think it's different for everybody. Yeah. Sometimes it depends on the location. I'm in Sandy Springs. You're more in Buckhead.
Right.
So I get a lot of my clients come from Sandy Springs, the Sandy Springs area. Now I would say my clients are probably half referrals, half come from different marketing that I have.
And I know earlier we were talking about you both being members. Well, you're a member of every association, I think, that you're just looking for the next.
Yeah.
But the Georgia Association for Women Lawyers, and so just from networking, that's fairly probably, I would imagine, inexpensive and can be effective, right?
Yeah, and I actually think those are your best clients because they come to you knowing that you are the one that they want to use. It's a less of a vetting process because somebody has said something good about you.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. The third-party endorsement, yeah.
Yeah, and the marketing, it's twofold as well. It's just like Office Space.
Right.
Know your budget. If you spend all your money, again, it's such a hard thing to determine the ROI or return on investment on what you do. So I always tell younger attorneys, start small, try to find free marketing. And what I mean by that, you can, whether it's going on Craigslist is free. You can post an ad for free. Kind of practice area specific too, because a lot of, if you ever go to Craigslist and click on the legal, you tend to see the same areas, whether it's family law, bankruptcy, immigration, they're consumer specific. So not every area of law is going to work, but that's just one avenue. Another cost effective avenue is specifically like with the Atlanta Bar Association. I know Jennifer and I both do this. You can get on their attorney referral list, and it's just an additional $120 a year. You're already paying for membership of the bar. That's a great way as you're trying to build your client base. And then absolutely, that's why you have to get involved with the associations, but relationships don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to, as Jennifer's point, have a hodgepodge of different marketing things that you do, because when you start getting more clients, you can do the more sophisticated marketing, do the SEO where you can afford to pay as clicks. But like you said, 3 years ago, I had no referrals because I didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And now it's completely flipped. About 70% of my practice now is referrals, not only from other colleagues, but now referrals from clients, because they're your best advocates as well to speak about the quality of your work.
You have those raving fans. I mean, you can have, you know, more business. It just kind of compounds. You talked about referrals earlier. I'd be interested in, Jennifer, like who are some referral sources that you kind of you look towards, I guess?
So this surprises a lot of people, but a huge referral source for me are mortgage brokers.
Okay.
Because people will go and try and get a loan who are completely unqualified based on their credit report. And I mean, their credit report's so bad that it's going to be faster to fix their credit report by filing bankruptcy than trying to pay it off. I mean, most people file bankruptcy, just can't pay it off. It's not that they don't want to. They just physically can't.
From medical bills and things like that,
exactly. And they don't realize how much that affects on purchasing a home and other such things.
Right.
We have a mortgage guy coming in on the 10 o'clock show. You can stick around or whatever. Do some networking. It's free or whatever,
Well, thank you again for being on today's show. And thank you for representing the Georgia Association of Women Lawyers. We're excited. Next week, we have some people talking about the Supreme Court decision that was made recently. And then we also have people representing the Atlanta Bar. So we're looking forward to next week as well. My name is Emily Rowell with attorneyofficespace.com. And you can also, this show has been sponsored by DaVinciVirtualOffice.com and DaVinciMeetingRooms.com. If you are looking for a virtual office anywhere, especially in Atlanta, you can actually go to our website at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. And if you mention AL Radio, click on the links there and you can get some discounts on those products. So thank you for listening.